This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, January 18th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. Colorado is sending at least 200 National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. to assist with security at Joe Biden's inauguration on Wednesday. Governor Jared Polis says Colorado's among 41 states sending their troops in the wake of the deadly attack by Trump supporters on the U.S. Capitol. A police chief in the district told NPR he's expecting around 20,000 National Guard troops to be stationed in the area to secure the inauguration. Last week, in a press release, the governor outlined Colorado's greenhouse gas pollution reduction roadmap. The roadmap lays out a number of steps to advance pollution reduction across our economy. This includes expanding renewable energy generation and storage to ensure cleaner air, lower electricity rates, and lasting economic growth. Tangible goals in transportation, buildings, and industry will reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Polis is working with the General Assembly to make Colorado exemplary in addressing climate change. The trouble continues for Congresswoman Lauren Boebert's office. Her communications director, Ben Goldie, confirmed his resignation on Friday, as first reported by Axios. He said in a statement, quote, "Following the events of January 6th, I've decided to part ways with the office. The destruction that took place, which the President of the United States bears responsibility for, has left me dismayed, discouraged, and downright angry." Boebert faces increasing demands to resign from her constituents, local elected officials, and members of Congress. 68 elected officials signed a letter to Nancy Pelosi condemning Boebert's conduct in advance of and during the violent coup attempt. Over 4,500 constituents have signed a change.org petition calling on the House to investigate her ties to white supremacists. In a press release on Friday, newly elected U.S. Senator John Hickenlooper announced his initial staff hires. He's building a diverse team, drawing heavily on his campaign staff, with most having over a decade of experience in Congress. Hickenlooper also announced he's opening 7 regional offices, including in Grand Junction and Durango, and a mobile office serving the Eastern Plains. Colorado lawmakers have adjourned for at least a month after a soft opening of their legislative session. KVNF's Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz explains what got done in 3 days.
In one of their final acts, lawmakers unanimously passed a measure urging the incoming Biden administration to keep U.S. Space Command in Colorado Springs. Governor Jared Polis says he is concerned by reports that President Trump had a hand in announcing the branch would be moving to Alabama, costing Colorado jobs. State lawmakers spent the rest of their opening days focusing on the coronavirus pandemic. They passed a bill allowing members to participate in hearings remotely. They also gave people experiencing financial hardship at least 3 more months to avoid debt collections. Lawmakers are expected to return in mid-February. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Residents of Somerset, a tiny unincorporated coal town on Colorado's western slope, are pitted against billionaire mine owner Bill Koch in a fight for clean drinking water. KBUT's Christopher Biddle set out to learn if this David versus Goliath story is as simple as it sounds.
In October, the Colorado Department of Health and Environment notified residents of Somerset that their water contained high levels of trihalomethanes. Large amounts can cause liver and kidney damage and cancer.
If that water's no good, they're hitting us for it, and there's nothing we can do about it.
John Malacher is 56 and has lived his whole life in Somerset. It's a community of about 100 mostly fixed-income residents. As the current president of the board for the Somerset Domestic Waterworks District, he's been tasked with fixing the problem, but he has a few objections.
We don't have our own system. We're buying water from the mine.
Enter Bill Koch, the somewhat less famous third brother of David and Charles Koch, known for their financial influence in right-wing politics. Bill Koch, a billionaire himself, owns the Oxbow Mine. The dispute is over a contract between the mine and the district that turns 80 this year. Coal production began at the Oxbow Mine shortly before the turn of the century. Somerset was born not long after. It was your classic company town where workers were paid in scrip and the mine owned everything. The mine unionized in the early 60s. Employees took ownership of the homes and the town. They established the Water District, which to this day is the sole elected office in Somerset. They signed a contract to buy water from the mine, and for decades, the arrangement went smoothly.
If you worked at the mine, they took the water bill out of your check, it was like $6.50. So I'm sure there was people that didn't pay back then, but the mind didn't care.
Then in the early 90s, as the system approached its 100th birthday, it became apparent that there were some much-needed upgrades.
They used an incredible amount of water.
Marlene Crosby is deputy county manager for Gunnison County. Her first encounter with Somerset was helping to install a water metering system.
People didn't fix their plumbing or insulate it. They just ran water all day and all night to keep their pipes from freezing.
Over the past 35 years, Crosby has witnessed disputes over not only water in Somerset, but also sewer, snow plowing, speed limits, and more. She portrays a history of high emotions, stubbornness, distrust, and dysfunction.
I alternate from feeling sympathetic to feeling perturbed that they won't do something to help themselves.
The frustration runs both ways. While technically part of Gunnison County, Somerset is separated from the county seat by either a 35-mile dirt road over a high mountain pass or a trip through the famously treacherous Black Canyon. Somerset locals like to rib county politicians for showing up only in election years. Malacher, himself the result of a recent political upheaval, will attest to a history of turnover on the board. He's no fan of county government, but he also knows that his real fight is with the owner of the mine. In addition to owning Oxbow Mine, Bill Koch is known locally as the man behind Bear Ranch, a perfectly replicated 19th century western town in the woods above Somerset. The real-life Westworld includes a saloon, a jail, a train station, and a mansion on a hill.
The fact that you're talking about one of the Koch brothers brings to mind this sort of like important and huge legacy of kind of what people will refer to as coal barons.
The scene is all too familiar to Jeff Keith, a professor of Appalachian history at Warren Wilson College in Asheville, North Carolina. Like communities in Appalachia, Somerset wasn't built to sustain future generations. It has an infrastructure that's only supposed to last however long it takes to get all of the coal out of the mine. For now, John Malacher tells constituents their taxes will go up, but they'll also eventually have clean water again. That's today's problem, but what about tomorrow? The Oxbow Mine halted coal production in 2013, and once the mandated period of reclamation ends, the land will transfer to Gunnison Energy, another Koch-owned company. Oxbow Mining will cease to exist, and with it, the mine says, the contract to provide water to Somerset.
And the way I feel, and half the board feels, that contract should still stay in place and go to Gunnison Energy, and they should be responsible for supplying us potable drinking water.
History suggests that solving the problem will fall on the shoulders of the Somerset Water District. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Christopher Biddle.
That story is part of our fossil fuel reporting collaboration. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redmond, and thank you for supporting local, independent public media.